All right, on that note, if you wouldn't mind opening your Bible to Luke chapter 9, that's where we'll be today, Luke chapter 9, those first verses there. And as you're opening your Bible to that section of Scripture, I'd like you to get in your mind somebody that you know that isn't a Christian, all right? Get a person in your mind that isn't a Christian. Can it be anybody, a family member, friend, co-worker, it doesn't matter. Somebody who isn't a Christian that is in your social sphere. And now imagine that you had determined, you had made up in your mind that you were going to share the gospel with that person tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow, when you cross their path, you are going to share the gospel with them. Now, that's happening tomorrow. So how do you feel then today? Are you perhaps nervous? Are you anxious about that encounter? Would you be apprehensive that you might say the wrong thing? Would you perhaps rather not do it because you might feel foolish or embarrass yourself or not know what to say? Would you be worried about the kinds of questions or objections that someone might have if you share the gospel with them? It's probably safe to say that the thought of sharing our faith personally, one-on-one, is a rather frightening thing to most of us. It can be daunting, it can be challenging, it can be intimidating. Now, in this passage that Pastor Levi read earlier in the service today, we see Jesus' disciples, his 12 apostles, are finally going to get their feet wet in gospel ministry. They're being sent out on a type of short-term missions trip. In verse 1 of chapter 9, it says that Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. So that's what they're going to do. That's their short-term missions trip. And they go out. They do it. They go on this missionary journey. We don't know how long they went out for, but it was presumably several days. A little later, Jesus tells them to stay at any house that welcomes them. So we're not just talking about a few hours here, but probably several days. And so what I'd like to do today is take a look at five aspects of what it means to faithfully declare this message, the same message that the disciples are sent out to declare, and simultaneously look at five reasons why you and I can be bold when we preach the gospel. I mean, if you either share the gospel with somebody, if you think about that person you just had in your mind a couple of minutes ago, you're probably intimidated, probably a little scared at the prospect or the idea of sharing the gospel with that person. This passage is going to show you why you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to be afraid. You can do this confidently and boldly. You can be a preacher of the gospel. Now, I'm going to be using the words preach and preaching a lot today, and I have to explain those words a bit because usually when you hear those words, you think of what I'm doing right now. You think of a man up in a pulpit raising his voice, expounding on the word of God, and that's certainly one aspect of preaching, but I'm going to use that word today more as a description of what all of God's people are called to do. All Christians are called to preach and declare the message of the kingdom of God as realized in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all preachers when it comes to the gospel. We all have been given this job by Jesus to be preachers. And we preach when we share the gospel with others in our lives. So when I talk about preaching today, what I'm talking about is sharing the gospel with others. And in particular, what we're going to focus on is what it means to be faithful preachers of the gospel. And I think, again, there are at least 5 points from this passage, some explicit and some implicit, that show us what it means to be faithful and bold preachers of the gospel. People who share the gospel with the world and who share it well. And if you will believe these principles, again, then you shouldn't have to approach sharing your faith with someone and with fear and trembling and timidity. If we would put these truths into action from this passage, we can be confident and bold people who declare the gospel. All right, so let's look at these five. First, faithful preaching is not dependent on the messenger. Just look at the first 6 words of verse 1 of chapter 9. It says that, and he called the 12 together. Now, the first thing you need to realize about the successful and faithful declaration of the gospel is that it has absolutely nothing to do with those who declare it. And the disciples are proof of that because there is nothing special about them. They are eventually going to take this message of the kingdom of God all across the known world, and they are absolutely and utterly inadequate for this task. None of the disciples were trained communicators. They were all blue-collar laborers. I doubt that their vocabularies were very big or that they had all of the answers to all the theological questions and objections they may have received. They were all also probably afraid of looking foolish, just like we are. I'm sure that's something that you struggle with. I can't share the gospel. I'll look like an idiot. I'm sure they felt the same way. At least some of them felt very inadequate for this job that Jesus was giving them to go out and declare the kingdom of God. But you know what? That's okay, because the success of their work was not dependent on them. It was dependent on God. And that's kind of the point. You see, the disciples weren't supposed to feel adequate to do God's work. The point was they were supposed to realize how much they needed God's help to do what he had commanded them to do. Because if they did feel as though their efforts were enough to accomplish God's mission, then you know what? They wouldn't need God. If they were strong in and of themselves, why would they need God's help? And if their ministry wasn't effective, then it would have been their fault. And if their ministry was successful, then they could have claimed all the credit. But in reality, God's work doesn't depend on people. And the disciples proved that. None of them are naturally gifted for ministry. None of them were orators or philosophers or marketers or social media experts. They were all nobodies. And if you think about it, what a horrible idea to get this group of blue-collar nobodies to go and preach the gospel message, the greatest message in history, right? Can you think of a worse bunch of people to go out and do this job? You know what? It doesn't matter. Because the results of their work didn't depend on them. It depended on God. So you know what? If you feel inadequate to share the gospel, if you feel like that's not something you can do and you would mess it up and you wouldn't do a good job, you know what? Join the club. It's a big club. And you know who the charter members were? These 12 guys. They didn't feel it either. And you know what? Again, that's the point. You're not supposed to feel adequate to do God's work, because if you did feel as though your efforts were enough to accomplish God's mission, then you know what? You wouldn't need God. And it wouldn't be his mission anymore. It'd be yours. So feeling inadequate to share the gospel with people is actually a good sign. And it's proof positive that you are ready to be a gospel minister. So do you think you might not know the right things to say to share the gospel with someone? Yep, you might not. Well, thank God that the message of the gospel doesn't depend on you. And even if you don't do well talking to people, God can take your feeble efforts and do something with them. And maybe you think that you don't know enough big theological sounding words. Yeah, you might not. And you might not be able to answer every question and objection that people might have when you share your faith with them. But God can still use you to declare his message to the world. Remember, it doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. And as long as you will be obedient to be someone who declares the gospel faithfully, God will be with you, and he will use your efforts for his glory. And you know what? This is a glorious truth, because it takes a huge burden off of you if you realize that faithful gospel preaching has nothing to do with you. Because you know what? If it did depend on you, then you hold the eternal salvation of other people in your hands. If their eternal salvation depended on you using the right words and saying the right things and having the right and convincing answers to the hard questions, that would be an unbearable burden. But thankfully, it depends on God, not on the messenger. God simply tells us to be faithful to preach, and he will do the work. He will make sure the right words are used. He will soften and harden hearts as he sees fit. Faithfully preaching the gospel does not depend on the messenger. And secondly, faithful preaching is accompanied by power. We look back at verses 1 and 2. It says that he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Now, as part of the process of the disciples going out to preach, Jesus also gives them power over all demons and to cure diseases. But notice the primary purpose of their missions trip here is not to cast out demons and cure diseases, but to rather proclaim the kingdom of God. That was their main job. Casting out demons and curing diseases were secondary or incidental aspects of their ministry. It was power that accompanied their preaching. It wasn't power for power's sake, but as a result of the word of God being proclaimed. It was a sign that the message that they were preaching about the kingdom of God was true. This new reality brought in by Jesus into the world was here, and here's the proof: the power to cast out demons and cure diseases. And we know that this power was felt in the community and in the region at large. If you look at verse 7, it says that Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see him. So the power that accompanied the disciples' preaching was gaining attention, so much so that the news of what they were saying and doing traveled fast and far, all the way to Herod, one of the rulers of Israel. And not only that, but the kind of power the people were seeing was monumental. It was on par with the kind of power that Elijah had when he was living, and one of the greatest heroes of the Jewish faith, one of the greatest miracle workers of the Jewish faith. And so people are equating the things that the disciples are doing with what Elijah did. So it was very significant. But it's interesting, you know, that these verses are the only or the closest thing that Luke says to us that gives us any kind of idea of the results of this missions trip. Because Luke never tells us how many people believed in the message of the disciples, or what the general public reaction to it was, or how many demons were cast out, or how many diseases were cured. We don't know any of those things. But we do know that things were happening, because word traveled about what was going on. But the point is, again, that when the word of God is proclaimed, it is accompanied always by divine power, either in a large group setting like this, or in a one-on-one scenario between you and a friend or a family member. Divine power comes with the preaching of God's word. The Bible says that any time God's word is declared, it is powerful to accomplish exactly what he wills it to accomplish. Now, in the time of the disciples, God's word brought power to cast out demons and heal diseases, which operated as signs that the message of the disciples were declaring was true. And God's word today brings with it no less power than it did in the first century. It brings the power of conviction, the power of repentance, the power of faith, the power of obedience, the power to fight and battle against sin, the power to harden hearts even, which we'll talk about more in just a minute. And it gives weak people like you and me the power to be faithful, the power to declare it when we're not very good communicators, the power to care about the souls of others, to motivate us to speak up in the first place. It gives us the power to overcome the fear of being someone who speaks out publicly for Jesus. Faithful gospel declaration always is accompanied by the power of God. Now, so many times on Sundays after our services, I'll have people come up to me and say, "Oh, thank you for that message. It spoke directly to me." Or they'll say, "You know, I felt like I was the only one in the sanctuary today, and you were talking directly to me." Or someone will come up to me and say, "You know, that's exactly what I needed to hear today." I'll let you in on a little secret. I have nothing to do with that. Nothing. That is not me. It's not because I'm persuasive, it's not because I use slick words, or that I'm a great communicator, or I'm wise, or anything else. That is the power of God working in your heart. When you hear the word of God and you are convicted, that is the power of God working in you. Remember, we already said this has nothing to do with the messenger. But when God's word is faithfully preached, it comes with power. And if you will faithfully declare the kingdom of God, that same power will be present in your words. It really will. And in your desire to be obedient to God to declare His message, you need to know this. If you will be faithful to share the gospel with people, you're not doing it by yourself. You are doing it with the power of God to reach inside of people's hearts and turn them and change them, convict them, to heal them in whatever ways God sees fit. So you can be bold in sharing your faith because it comes with power. Third, and this seems obvious, it's implied in the text. Again, it seems obvious, but I think we need to say it. Faithful preaching requires verbal declaration, all right? Verbal declaration. Remember, Jesus didn't necessarily send his disciples out primarily to cast out demons and to cure diseases, but to perform a verbal activity to declare the kingdom of God. Their primary purpose on this missions trip was to use their mouths, their voices. See, if the disciples only went out and performed miracles, they would have been simply traveling magicians. There needed to be context for the power that they were displaying, and that context was the message that they were sent out to declare. The miracles wouldn't have made sense without the message. Now, this might be hard for some of us to hear, but we need to hear it. If you're going to faithfully declare the kingdom of God, you have to say something, okay? Again, that seems really simple, but I think we need to know that. If you're going to faithfully declare the kingdom of God, you have to say something. A lot of times at our house when our kids get angry or frustrated or something, there's and some foot stomping, and my wife always says, use your words. That's what she says to our kids, because you can't really understand foot stomping and grunting and you have to say something to know what we're going to say, to know what is on your mind. She even tells me this too, because I do my own amount of foot stomping in the house, and she says, use your words. There's a quote from St. Francis of Assisi that you've probably heard that goes something like this. It says, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Now, I have a problem with that sentiment, actually several problems. First, that quote can't actually be historically attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. There's no historical evidence that he ever said that. Secondly, I think it's nonsensical. I don't think it makes sense. Wives, women, wives, would that work for you? If your husband told you, honey, I'm going to tell you that I love you at all times, and if necessary, I'm going to use words. Probably not. In order to communicate ideas, you have to use your words. And now you might say, I'm not very good at talking. I prefer to be someone who works behind the scenes. Well, me too. But you need to come out from behind the scenes and share the gospel with someone. Not because I say so, but because Jesus says so. You know, I bet some of Jesus' disciples were behind the scenes people, but he didn't give them some kind of special dispensation from this missions trip. He didn't just send out the ones who were good communicators. He sent them all. He expected all of them to be declaring the kingdom of God. And so if you're going to be a faithful preacher of the gospel, you need to use your words. And if you don't think you're good at talking to people, get better. Simple as that. Practice. I'm not trying to be a jerk or not to say that, you know, some of us just don't talk well, including me, you may have noticed, after seeing me up here every week, right? Some of that does happen to some of us, but we can get better. If you're uncomfortable talking to people, practice. Get better at it so that you can be confident. And know, remember, that you've got God's power coming with you. Get better. You have to say something. Now, that being said, I absolutely affirm that part of your testimony is how you live. And when people see you following Jesus, that will have an effect on them. In fact, Peter tells wives to win their husbands over with their good conduct. So yes, there definitely is something to your actions being a part of your testimony. But it is not all of your testimony. Verse 2, it says that Jesus sent out his disciples to declare the kingdom of God. Now think of that phrase there for a minute, the kingdom of God. What does he mean by that? The kingdom of God is the new reality that Jesus has brought to the hearts and lives of his people. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil that first began way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell into sin. Jesus came to redeem people from the effects of that fallen world and usher in this new reality of forgiveness and righteousness. And so when the disciples go out to declare the kingdom of God, what they're doing is they're telling people that this new reality is finally here. The Messiah has come and he will right the wrongs that have been brought about because of sin. And he will build his kingdom in the hearts and lives of those who will be his subjects. And so when you declare the kingdom of God, you declare this reality as well. Jesus has come and he has invited you to join his kingdom. He's come to take care of your sin problem and give you eternal life to pay the debt that you deserve and instead give you his righteousness. But in order to declare that message, you have to use words. Think about it. Can you declare the message that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved? How do you declare that without saying it? What does that look like if you were going to live that out? What does that look like? How does somebody get that message from watching you live? You have to speak. You're going to have to say something, to preach, to declare. I don't necessarily mean standing on a soapbox down on the corner of the street, although if that's your thing, then go for it. But even in your interactions with people, if you want to share the message of the gospel with them, you're going to have to say something. Is it going to be hard? Sometimes it is going to be hard. Might you feel foolish or embarrassed? Maybe. Will it draw you out of your comfort zone? Almost certainly. I don't really know anybody. I don't think I've ever met anybody who didn't struggle with this. But if you're going to faithfully declare the kingdom of God, you have to say something. You have to use your words. Fourth, faithful preaching is not dependent on resources. Faithful preaching is not dependent on resources. Verse 3, Jesus says to his disciples, take nothing for your journey. No staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. Now, I don't know about you, but that last one's easy for me because I don't even have one tunic, let alone two. Jesus tells his disciples here that they can't take anything with them. None of the comforts they regularly have, not even the things that you would naturally assume would be beneficial or helpful for going on a short-term missions trip, like this one. He says, don't take a staff. In other words, don't bring any protection with you. No earthly help in your journey. He says, don't take a bag. So no provisions for the journey. No toiletries, no comfort items. He says, don't take any bread. So no food, no basic sustenance for living, no money, Jesus says, which would in that context would have been no bargaining chip, no way to conduct any kind of business. So the disciples are essentially denied any means by which to control their situation. They were completely dependent. They have nothing to defend themselves with or provide for themselves. So why did Jesus tell them not to take any of this stuff? What's the lesson he's trying to teach them here? Well, Jesus puts the disciples in a position where they literally can't trust in anything except him and the power of their message. And that's a place where I think we all need to be more often. You know, so often in the church, we are tempted to think that if we only had this or that at our church, then our ministry would be successful. Then people would come to our church. Then people would really come to know Jesus. If we only had this gimmick or service or program, then we would be a successful church. If we only had a full light show and a fog machine here in our services on Sunday mornings, then people would come to our church and come to know Jesus. Or if we only had this kind of music or that kind of music, then people would be saved. No. Or if we only did this program or that one, then people would come to know Christ. No, it's not true. The only thing that has the power to save is Christ through the preaching of his gospel. The disciples had nothing except the clothes on their backs and the words in their mouths to perform their ministry. And news of what they accomplished spread far and wide, all the way to the top, all the way to Herod. They accomplished all of that with nothing. And you know what? That's all you need too. In order to faithfully declare the gospel, all you need is words and an obedient, willing spirit. You don't need a flashy gimmick. You don't need the latest and greatest technology. You don't need to be hip and relevant. You just need the power of the gospel. And one of the reasons Jesus sent them out with nothing is so that people would know that their preaching wasn't dependent on their resources. In other words, they weren't successful ministers because they had all this cool stuff. No, if they were to preach, the power to preach would come from God, not from the things that they had. And if they were to be successful in their ministry, it's not because of all the flashy stuff they had with them, like their two tunics. No, it all comes from God. Because they didn't have any of those things. And so the only conclusion people could come to was that God was in their message. Because it couldn't have been anything else. They didn't have anything else. Now, does that mean it's wrong to use those resources or to try this program in ministry or to do this kind of music? No, it doesn't mean any of those things. But as we use those things that God has provided to us, we need to remember that there is no power in them. The only power we have is through Christ and through the preaching of the Word of God, through the gospel. And faithful preaching of the gospel knows and embraces this truth, that the power is only in God's Word. And then finally, faithful preaching is not concerned with results. It's not concerned with results. As I said earlier, Luke doesn't give us any of the numbers or statistics about the results of this short-term missions trip that the disciples go on here. We don't know how many conversions there were. We don't know how many people responded positively to their message. We don't know how many people accepted their message or how receptive they were. We have no idea how the disciples did on this trip. All we know is that something happened. Stuff was happening because even Herod heard about it. Look at verse 4. Jesus tells them, whatever house you enter, stay there and from there depart. Now listen to this. He says, wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So you know what? Jesus tells them that when they go out on this trip, they're going to be accepted by some people and rejected by others. And he says that if they are rejected, if their message is rejected, go ahead and leave. But you know what? That does not mean that their trip is unsuccessful or that their ministry is unsuccessful, because he tells them to expect that people won't listen to them. Expect to be rejected. Just a few minutes ago, we said that God's Word is powerful and that it always accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. So even if our preaching is rejected, it has accomplished what God wants it to accomplish. If we share the gospel with people and they don't believe it, or it doesn't seem to impact them, it doesn't mean that we've failed. It means that God's Word has hardened their heart, and it will be used as a testimony against them. Remember, faithful preaching is not dependent on us, but it's dependent on God. We don't know the results, and you know what? We don't know what the results of our, we don't need to know what the results of our preaching are going to be. So when we think about sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, going out and doing ministry, we oftentimes think that, oh, only so many people showed up. Oh, I guess this one wasn't that good. Or, oh, you know, we had 100 people come to this thing, but only one of them got saved. No, that's the wrong way to think. The results are up to God. They're not up to us. We don't need to know the results. We just need to trust that He is going to work. We need a redefinition of what success means when it comes to preaching the gospel. You see, we aren't successful if we preach and 100 people believe the gospel, and we aren't unsuccessful if we preach and 0 people believe the gospel. Because remember, those things aren't up to us. Salvation is dependent on God, not on our eloquence. It's dependent on God, not on us. So then results are not an accurate way to measure our success in preaching the gospel. And again, Luke doesn't tell us any results of the disciples' preaching. But you know what? It's possible that they could have gone throughout the region preaching, and every single house told them to leave. Every single one. Luke doesn't tell us, but that's possible that that happened. Well, what then? Were the disciples failures? Did they totally strike out on this missions trip? No. Because success in preaching the gospel is not determined by the results of the message being declared, but by the willingness of God's people to be obedient to it and to be obedient to declare it. In other words, we are successful in our ministry when we simply do what God tells us to do and we leave the results up to Him. We don't share the gospel because we're going to win people to Christ, but because we are primarily concerned with being obedient to God. Now, do we want people to believe the gospel and be saved? Of course! Absolutely! But whether they do or not can't be the determining factor in whether or not we are faithful to preach. Faithful gospel declaration is not concerned with results. It is only concerned with obedience to God. So let me encourage you. If you have shared the gospel with somebody and you have not seen results, don't be discouraged, all right? Don't be discouraged. The success of your ministry doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. And you can be satisfied that in being faithful to declare the gospel, you have been obedient to your Lord. So get that person in mind again that we started with. That person you know who is not a Christian, get them in your mind again. Can you share the gospel with that person? Are you trained? Are you educated? Maybe not. But God's power will go hand in hand with your obedience to accomplish exactly what God wants to accomplish. You can do it. You can be bold in sharing the gospel with people. Because it doesn't depend on you, it depends on God. And it's not about your power, it's about God's power to be faithful. You can do it. And God uses people who aren't very good at speaking and others to do His work. God uses whatever meager means you have to be able to accomplish His purposes. Don't worry about being successful. Leave that up to God. Just worry about being obedient to what God has told you to do, and then go do it. Go do it. I'm going to pray for you all this week that God puts someone in your path this week and gives you an opportunity to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm going to pray that God puts someone specifically, individually in your path, and that you will step up to the plate, remember these things, be bold and confident in these truths, and declare the kingdom of God to that person. That's going to be my prayer for you this week. And you can come and tell me how God answers that prayer for you. So take these truths, apply them, be a bold, confident preacher of the gospel. Let's all do that. Let's pray. God, we do thank you that you have given us this work, this mission to join in with you, to be people who declare the gospel to the world. Lord, I thank you for such a high calling and privilege. And Lord, I thank you that you have not left us alone in this task, but you come with us, and your power is coming as well. And you will do the work, not us. You will do it through us. Lord, thank you again for that high calling, that high privilege. God, we ask for continued boldness. And I ask that you would, again, bring someone into each one of our lives this week that we can share the kingdom of God with whom we can share the kingdom of God and share your good news. And Lord, that we would be bold and confident remembering these truths, that you took people who were not at all qualified by any earthly standard and you made them into the greatest missionary force the world has ever seen. Lord, do that with us. Make us that missionary force. As we send people out into the country and as we send them out to the nations across the world, and Lord, as we even come and walk into our own community, our own households even, that you would make us bold declarers of your kingdom and your gospel, your good news. God, we ask that you would empower us to this end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.